A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio. Thanks for being here this morning. It is so much fun to get together and talk about gardening and plants every Saturday morning, Ton. It's just a great thing. This show has been on for so long, and it's just an institution. And that's such a pleasure to be here and be part of it with you.
Yeah, it is. I mean, Saturdays, I know KSL is news-focused and current event-focused, but we are the one show that's just all about gardening, and we leave that behind, and unless there's something really going on, and we will go over to it.
But it's great. And I can't believe it. It's our first tomato call of the day, but I'm anxious. Let's get to it. And it's Joy calling in from Bountiful. Good morning, Joy. Joy, are you there? Oh, Joy may be listening on a radio. Joy, you got to listen on the phone.
I am.
Okay.
We got it.
Are you with us then? Great.
I am.
Okay, great.
I'm seeing like a double thing going on. I'm like hearing two different things.
Okay. So what's your question? How can we help you out with your tomatoes?
I had curly top virus last year, and I wanted to prevent it this year. And so...
So you had curly top, and you're worried about getting it again this
year.
Hold
on 1 second. I've got a double thing going on here.
Okay, we'll try to address
your question.
It sounds like
we've got a bad connection because you were cutting out a bit.
So curly top. Tell us about curly top.
Well, curly top is luck of the draw, and it's spread by a leaf hopper. And so I would just make sure you plant the tomatoes in a new spot, but the virus doesn't overwinter in the soil. It's spread by insects. And so I would just plant your tomatoes. And it seems like about one out of 3 or 4 years, you get blessed with curly top. There's nothing you can do about it. But what it does is the tomato plants will start to yellow out and get curly leaves. The tomatoes ripen early but don't taste good. And then within 6 or 8 weeks, the plants usually die. And there's some tomatoes that are a little more tolerant, but the tomatoes still aren't good. But because those are spread by a leaf hopper that are blown in by the wind, if you have tomatoes and the leaf hopper's out and we get high winds and things, a lot of conditions have to be right for them to come. But it seems like every 3 to 4 years we get calls with curly top virus, and it's because the weather conditions were supportive of those leaf hoppers getting blown in and attacking our tomatoes.
Does that sound like what's happening to you, Joy?
Does spinosad, does it take care of the leaf hoppers? Because we've been using Captain Jack.
Well, it may, but the problem is it just takes one strike. And once the leaf hopper has tapped in and started to suck on the actual leaves, you're had if it has a virus and it gets into the tomato. And so it, in theory, it maybe could, and you would probably want to use a different one because the leaf hoppers, they need to ingest the poison for spinosad for it to be effective. And so you could try it, and it may slow it down, but you have to kill 100% of the leaf hoppers before they feed on your plants.
Okay.
Okay, does that help you out, Joy?
Does covering them with like tool or something help as well?
It very well could, because the leaf hoppers, as long as they can't get through it, if you wanted to put some hoops up and cover them for the first part of the summer, you would have to use that same method we talked about for the squash bugs, where the tool fabric was sealed with soil so they couldn't get under there, but it may help.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right, Joy. Good. Hopefully that helps you out, and good luck with your tomatoes this year. Everybody deserves a good, decent homegrown tomato.
Yeah, I bought some tomatoes last night, and I was eating on some of them, and watery with a hint of tomato flavor. It's just a couple more months.
We're getting close. Going back to the curly top. Now, since it's spread by an insect, if you get one infected tomato plant, is the one next door in danger?
No, not unless they root graft for some reason. They generally are not root grafted. And so if you get one bad one and you know it's going down, dig it
just
out.
Get it out. Yeah.
Because you don't want leafhoppers getting on that and then hopping to the next tomato. And so as soon as you see symptoms, you need to dig that tomato out and keep an eye on the adjacent tomatoes.
And if that's a problem for you one year in your tomato patch, and does that increase the likelihood that the next year it could happen again?
It does not.
It sounds like this is just a purely chance thing.
It is. And it just, I've had years where I used to grow a lot of field trials and I grew tomatoes. 1 in 3 years, I'd get curly top and it would ruin my research. And it just was the nature of it. And it could be that I was growing in a big field of tomatoes where it's easy for the leafhoppers to go from tomato to tomato. But 1 in 3 or 4 years, it seemed like I got it. And, you know, it's not, you do want to rotate, but rotating your tomatoes 20 feet away is not going to diminish the likelihood of you getting it.
It's interesting because one of the things about tomatoes is they are susceptible to multiple viruses, but usually they're soil-based.
Well, the viruses oftentimes don't actually overwinter in the soil very well. They need a vector such as a human or an insect to spread them.
Okay.
Now, there are soil pathogens, and those are usually fungal or water molds like Phytophthora and Verticillium do stay in the soil, but those are not viruses. Viruses are spread by insects and humans. The one that's mainly spread by humans is tobacco mosaic, which tomatoes are related to tobacco, and it oftentimes comes from garden centers or growing operations where the workers smoke and handle tobacco and then handle the tomatoes that is spread from the tobacco into the tomatoes.
Interesting. So, because that's one of the things that you hear about tomatoes. It's one of the reasons that we like celebrities, because they're disease resistant, right? And so I always worry about, oh my gosh, a tomato virus is going to wipe out my entire tomato crop.
Yeah. And we worry about that, but a lot of times the viruses, there's nothing you can do.
And that's the scary part, because if it's something else, you can spray for the bug.
Yeah, that idea of putting tulle fabric over the top of them and sealing the tomatoes in will exclude a lot of insects, and it may help out, at least with those viruses. But there's others, you worry about that are soil-borne that you mentioned that, what do you do? We do have a text here. It says, I have major morning glory problems with my grass. Will Tenacity kill this? I am not a fan of Tenacity. Now, I'm not knocking it as an herbicide, but I don't like it in homeowners' hands, because if you read the label, there are tons of restrictions on spraying it. One, you have to have 100% Kentucky bluegrass. If you have a type of rye or some types of fescue, Tenacity will highly damage or kill them. Tenacity also, a lot of the form of chemical that it is, a lot of times has a lot of residual that you need to be careful with. There's some upside to Tenacity because it doesn't kill Kentucky bluegrass and knocks out a lot of other weeds. You can use it when you seed and you have far fewer weeds. Tenacity will kill quackgrass. And so if you have quackgrass in your Kentucky bluegrass, but you have to have 100% Kentucky bluegrass, or you may have a lot of lawn damage. And so I am not saying that Tenacity should not be used, but I really am saying that you need to have a lot of caution with Tenacity.
And you need to read that label.
You need to read that label carefully.
Yeah.
If you have field bindweed problems, I would really look at Image. A company called Image makes an all-in-one lawn weed killer with quinclorac in it that I would sure look at first, because
that's become my go-to.
The potential harm is quite diminished as compared to a product like Tenacity.
And a lot of the products with quinclorac allow you to use them in these hot temperatures.
They do. And you have to make sure there's no 2,4-D or dicamba.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as they don't, like this Image doesn't have any 2,4-D or dicamba. And so there's, like you said, there's no temperature restrictions or fewer temperature restrictions on top of it.
Yeah, and that's the reason I purchased some of that, and I've just started trying it, and it's so far it's been knocking back the bindweed. Now, I don't have a huge problem, but that's because I'm very anal about it.
Yeah.
And I'm always watching for that first little tiny leaf in the lawn and so I can blast it back.
Yeah.
Because you just never get rid of it, and you can't let it get out of control.
Yeah, there's been some local businesses, and I'm not sure which ones are doing it, that have really been promoting tenacity heavily to the general public. And it just gives me caution. You know, a few years ago, it was, there was a tree killer that would knock out stumps, toward on RTU. And it's not even registered for residential use. And I looked at the tenacity label, and residential areas are not strictly forbidden, but it's designed for use on golf courses, industrial areas, and not really meant for homeowners. And every time I see this happen, I really just try to tell people that sell chemicals to be cautious, because there could be a lot of potential harm. And even though the label is supposed to protect you, I have seen over and over and over businesses get sued because somebody misapplied a pesticide, and there is some responsibility that falls back on the business that sold it.
Yeah, those labels are there for a reason. And no matter what it is you're using, you should always be familiar with them and read them. All right, we're going to jump out and take a break here. We're going to come back with the final segment of the Greenhouse Show on the other side of this break. This is your final chance to get your question in. We do have time for maybe one or two calls yet. KSL Talk is the number, so give us a call right away if you want to jump in, and we'll be back with that final segment on the other side of this break on KSL News Radio.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed
everything. It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio, and we always say this, Tom, but it does fly by. But it's a lot of fun to be here and do this, and it's our final segment here, and let's take the opportunity.
We look like we have one call. Just barely came in.
Oh, let's chat with Kent. Kent's calling in, and good morning, Kent. How are you today? No, not yet. Okay, we'll check in with Kent in a second. In the meantime, let's take a text, Tom.
All right. Let's see. My zucchini already has powdery mildew. Is it the weather, and what's the best thing to do?
We were kind of talking about this.
Yeah,
earlier,
we had a similar text earlier, and you're probably going to want to use a garden fungicide to see if you can knock it out, and then start using a neem oil, which is preventative, and also make sure that you're just surface irrigating with like drip hose or hand watering, so you don't get any water on the foliage.
And we, as you and I were talking during one of the breaks, be sure that it is powdery mildew, because some varieties of squash can have a little bit of silver in their leaves.
They can. It's almost like a silver it's not a variegation, but there's a lot of especially newer varieties of zucchini and yellow squash that have silvering along the veins that people assume is powdery mildew.
Okay. Well, let's see if we can check back in and see if Kent is there. You back with us?
I'm here.
All right, great. How can we help you out, Kent?
So we've got Kentucky bluegrass that's been established for like 7 years. And I noticed in our park strip, that's where it began, but we get this wide blade, fast-growing, thick grass.
It's like a field
stuff that's
grass
coming up, and it's pretty invasive. And I was wondering, if you knew what it was, and I know you don't have a picture to go off of, but from the description. And then the other is, was that product you were just talking about, Tenacity, would that be a good thing to use?
Well, it sounds like quack grass. You would need to find some seed heads, but once you find seed heads, you'll know 100% if you have quack grass or not. If the quack grass is growing in 100% Kentucky bluegrass, it may be something that you could potentially try, but you need to read the label and make sure that you follow the label, because the class of herbicide that it is one that is not commonly available to homeowners because you can mess things up. But if you follow the instructions and know what you've got, you'll probably be okay.
Okay. So what would be a different, if we didn't want to use the Tenacity, what would be a different?
Roundup.
Yeah, Roundup. Yeah.
Okay. The Roundup for the, I know, I think they make two different kinds. So if they make the kind that's just for so that it doesn't harm
there's
the grass.
Roundup for lawns, but quackgrass is a grass,
you
so
one.
You won't get any effect because it only kills things like dandelions.
You kind of have to take the nuclear option here.
Yeah, and so the other thing you could do is try a wicking wand, which you can order online or like off of Amazon. They look like a hockey stick with a sponge on the bottom, and let that quack grass grow up above the Kentucky bluegrass and just wipe the tips of the quack grass with a wicking wand so you avoid contact with your bluegrass.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because it grows taller than the grass pretty quick.
Yeah, and so that's what I would do is maybe try a wicking wand.
Where would I get that?
IFA, maybe Steve Regan in Salt Lake. Amazon carries two or three versions of it. I think they're a little more expensive on Amazon, but they do have them.
It's probably fairly common in places.
Amazon has one for around $65.
Supplies.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's called a wicking wand?
A wicking wand, yeah. The one on Amazon, it's a red devil or red something, but it's a red tube bent with a sponge on the bottom that the herbicide goes through into the sponge, and you just run it back and forth.
Okay. Hey, thanks a bunch.
Good luck. It's a tough battle to fight there, Kent, but we wish you luck. All right, one more call. We're here. We got time for one last call. Suzanne's calling in from Pleasant Grove. Good morning, Suzanne.
Hi, I have a problem with my hostas, and I have been looking for snails, and I've put snail bait around, but when I touch the leaves, and they are destroying the leaves, I touch the leaves, and the I think it's aphids just fly. I'm wondering, is there something I can put on them to get those little guys?
What sort of damage are you seeing on the leaves?
Completely eaten away.
Aphids don't do that. Aphids suck the juices out, and if they're eaten away, it's something else. And if the snail bait hasn't worked, you might need to try another general insecticide to spray right on the leaves.
Okay, what would that be?
Permethrin would be one you could look at. There's several of them out there, but just a good yard and garden insecticide.
I did try the Ning, is that how you pronounce it?
A kind of a repellent, and it doesn't go after all insects. You might have to try something a little more potent than neem oil.
Okay, so you spray that on
permethrin, permethrin.
Okay, and you put that right on the leaves.
Yeah, you spray it on the leaves.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so glad I was able to get in today.
Well, and just a general shotgun approach if it hasn't knocked whatever else is eating it. And if you use like the dog-friendly snail bait, you might want to find a stronger one with metaldehyde in it.
Oh, okay. Because I haven't got any animals, and that would be great. All right, I'll look for that too.
All right, Suzanne.
Thank you.
Good luck
with
that.
I love your show.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We're glad you're there. Ton, it's going back to the grass thing. I have a problem in my backyard, and I've had it for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years now. It's not quack grass. It's just some random variety of field grass that got into the lawn somehow. And it's kind of the same symptom. It grows faster and shoots up, has the wide roof blades, but it doesn't spread like quack grass does. It does spread. And I've always just taken after it with the Roundup. But, you know, Tenacity, I'm thinking about it.
Well, you have to identify, because it doesn't kill all grasses. It only kills selected ones, mm-hmm. and the quack grass is on the label. Now, I've got quack grass in my side yard. I barely found it last fall, and it's already spread about 15 to 20 feet.
Yeah, it goes like crazy. Then.
And
that's not what I'm
doing. What I've got doesn't get taller than my Kentucky bluegrass. And so maybe tenacity, but the options are tenacity or kill it all out and restart over.
Yeah, and what I've done, as soon as I see it, I've hit it with Roundup, you know, taken out my bluegrass.
Yeah. But my problem is I've got fescue, tall fescue, in areas with quackgrass, and tenacity kills tall fescue. And so, you know, what do you do? And so if you have 100% Kentucky bluegrass, you might be able to try it. But tenacity is just one of those products that you've really got to be careful with.
If you did have some fescue in your yard, and you did just go ahead and try and use the tenacity in that area, it's going to take out, obviously, the fescue and whatever, you know, the quackgrass is, whatever it is you're trying to take out, as long as it's on the label. Would the bluegrass, once that's died out, come back and fill
it
in well enough?
It would probably fill in, yes. If it was a good mix and you only had maybe 20% fescue, then absolutely that fescue would fill in.
Yeah, so maybe that's an option. I'm going to look at this and research it, you know. But like any other pesticide or chemical spray, you know, use it well, use it wisely, and read the label. That's the bottom line, and use it the way you should. Okay, well, Ton, it's been great to be here with you today.
It's been fun.
Hopefully we can do it again soon.
Maybe in a month or so we'll be back together.
Sounds good. Sounds good. In the meantime, we'll welcome Maria back next week, and thanks for being here with us on the KSL Greenhouse Show.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.